Welcome to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to episode 31. I am PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And today, on your marks, get set. Go. Board games in focus. Racing games.
Yeah.
So, Gareth, Formula One, right? You were watching racing
back today. Back in the world of F1. So I'm a massive F1 fan. So
yeah,
we've been waiting for this day for about four months. So yeah, so it was race one in Bahrain. The world is back to normal. The weekends are wasted. Friday's practice, Saturday qualifying, Sunday race day. We're going to Silverstone this year. We're sitting in a grandstand. It's going to be epic.
Excellent.
So what better choice in racing games?
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. Is NASCAR popular at all in the UK?
I think if you're really into your racing,
okay,
possibly. But it's really, yeah, it's F1.
So F2, that's what I grew up cars. Watching was NASCAR, yeah. Being from the southern part of the US, and that's where it's just wildly popular. Not one of my favorite things to watch, but
you know. Yeah, but F1's growing massively in the US.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is popular. So. Got Vegas back end of the year this year. That's being built currently.
Cool.
So anyway, well, let's talk about racing games. So
right.
I thought I'd start with a game I played today because we were getting ourselves post-gaming, keeping ourselves in the mood of board games. So we played Downforce.
Yeah. Downforce.
Downforce.
Such a good game.
You got it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There we go. So you do love your motorsports.
I mean, a little bit. 2017, Wolfgang Kramer.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
It's nice great and simple. For those who haven't played it, basically six racing cars. There's the game comes with a double-sided map. There are two expansions with, I guess, four more maps included. And really, you've got a deck of cards evenly distributed. On the card, it's got one to six cards on it with the colors, and you play a card and you move whichever cars are on the track. But you're buying the car, you're bidding for the car at the beginning, which is going to cost you money at the end of the game. You're then betting on the car between three times on the racetrack. You haven't got to be your car to win. It could be somebody else's because you may have the cards to help cross the line. And then wherever your cars finish. And it's very simple. It is very engaging for non-gamers and gamers alike.
Yes.
Just a really nice racing game.
I think the appeal of this game is that there's like different modes, right? So like you can take out the auctioning at the beginning if you have younger children, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And with our nephew who's almost three, this is a game we're looking forward to once he's able to, you know, colors and numbers. And it's great for that, just teaching that and having fun, pushing the cars around. And if you don't, I don't know how it is in your house, but I imagine it is when you're playing Downforce or any auto racing game, when you're pushing the car on the board, if you do not make the auto sound vroom, or something, you lose a turn.
Yeah. I know this game is something called Doofus because the game is about being a bit of a annoying player by blocking people on the track.
It's
not really a racing game. It's actually how do I avoid or block everybody else so that my car gets ahead. So yeah, it can cause some frustration with people thinking it's just put car down race when you've sat on a corner and it's got no way to get past and people get blocked as your car or somebody's car races ahead. So it has got a bit of, player conflict in the instance of just blocking players so they can't get around the track. So it's more that than probably a racing game fully.
Right. No, that's definitely one of the worst things about these racing games, particularly Downforce, when, you know, just the way the cars run, because like you have to move when you play the card, you have to move them in the order from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if the red one is at the top, but it's in the back and it can't go because the cars are in front of, I mean, I recall there are times where I can play a card and then not do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because the lead car isn't on that card, and it's like,
yeah, well, or the lead car is blocking everybody, and yep, nobody else moves.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
and when you're bidding for the cars at the beginning, you also get a power up, which, you know, lets you do certain things, extra yep, steps, things like that. But yeah, it's not an entry level, but a really good, just standard racing game. I would recommend Downforce.
That's good. From my perspective, totally agree. I agree. No, Downforce is it's a solid game design. I want to get more racetracks. I know he's got, you know, they made
multiple boards. We were playing, I don't know what it's called now, I've forgotten which, but it's one side of the map has got intersections. So you race across the track, go round the back and come across the other side.
Kind of like a figure eight.
Yeah. And you end up basically blocking people coming the other way. and on the other side is more of like a desert track where there's subsections you can't stop on, but you can use them for maneuvering. So they're really tight tracks, but you can basically push people to go around you. So yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
I think the other two have got jumps. I think animals, like in a safari or something
like, yeah,
where they're crossing,
there's definitely ramps to jump. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's on my list to do. What other games? So obviously when we talk about racing, I guess it hasn't got to be this necessary cars.
Right.
So if you're not into cars, what racing game would you pick?
Camel Up.
Ah, if it's not cars, it's our four-legged friends with humps.
This game, so 2018, Stefan Bogen. Man, this game surprised me when the first time I played it, right? I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I mean, you're betting again, but you're manipulating them and the camels stack on top of each other. And,
chaos.
It's so good.
It's complete chaos.
Yeah. And you have one camel that goes the opposite direction of all the other. Oh man, it's so good. That game is just hilarious. Nonstop fun. I love it.
So I think that's
the three-dimensional
pyramid.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that game, it's that betting element. It does feel more chaotic than Downforce. We had the original version, which I think didn't have the ones that go the opposite way.
Right.
But I mean, it's wooden components versus more of a plastic one, but the game itself, an absolute blast. Again, end of night or end of gaming evening, a game of camel up, or sometimes called Camel Cup by some people, but that's a debate in its own right, isn't it?
Right. Yep.
Let's not get into that. But so camel up. It's just a really good laugh. Just, you know, sitting with friends. Again, you can be reasonably in terms of moving them along, which one you're gonna move and who's gonna move where.
It's great for one of those tense, you know, you got those game nights where it's like a tense game of Nemesis or Dead of Winter or something with a traitor mechanic, or that just got everybody on edge. Camel Up's a great way for people to just forget about what happened and just cut up and laugh and move perfect camels around the board. It's awesome. So that's a great racing game. I love that.
A similar game that's probably replaced it. Camel Up for us. I'm now going to say Camel Cup. It's in my head. has been Long Shot. Have you played Long Shot?
No, I haven't. But I know a lot of people have been, you know, talking about it and playing it recently. I haven't experienced it yet.
It's a roll and write, but with a board. So you roll a dice. You're ticking off things. You can basically move the horses around the track. And so, but again, you're betting on which is going to finish first, second, third. But again, you can it's got like an element of bingo. Four different horses selected, gives you bonus points, bonus coins. Plays up to eight players, small form box. So again, we played that a lot. I think we picked it up when we're in America. We picked up the Barnes & Noble, who had their own copy with some extra cards in it. It was a Kickstarter, I think, released about then at the same time. Then managed to get the Kickstarter version in the Games Expo, which had extra bits in it. So I have the complete copy with all the extra cards.
Nice.
Which is nice. But that's just a fun game. Horses racing round, rolling dice, and it's pretty quick. because everyone's having a go at the same time.
So I got to ask about your last trip to the United States. Did you do anything other than shop for board games? Because you always tell a story about, I picked this up at Barnes & Noble. I picked this up at Target. I picked it up when I was in New York.
It doesn't matter. I think, to be honest with you, whether I go any city in the world, I have plans on my little map, you know, solution, whichever mobile first I might be using, has got stars of where the board game shops are. And I'm like, oh, look, there's a board game shop over here. What a coincidence. And in we go. And then we will always, well, it'd be rude not to buy a game, wouldn't it, in another city, another country.
I suppose so, that's true. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So, I think, yeah, there's a few things in New York we picked up. But yes, we did do lots of sightseeing and eating and seeing friends. And then that's it.
So my next question to you, I know we're talking about racing games, but a little off topic for a moment. You just brought up Games Expo. I've been thinking about how the season of game conventions kind of has started off. Tantrum Con was in North Carolina a week or two ago. There was something.
Got Aircon starting next. Well, that's what next I was gonna, weekend.
Next weekend, which is what that was my question to you, is will you be going to Aircon at all, even for a day or anything?
It's a 4-hour drive.
Okay.
Maybe four and a half.
What's stopping you? I don't see a problem.
I don't actually know.
4 hours? That's
it's quite a long drive for a day.
You stay overnight and then you come home the next day. It's fine.
I'm just looking at my diary. In fact, I've got Friday off work. It's my anniversary with Carrie. So,
well, happy anniversary.
Well, isn't she going to be lucky? We haven't got anything planned, and now we have. I should go and let her know. In fact, she can listen to this on Tuesday, and then she can hear what her anniversary surprise is.
Oh, that's great. Carrie, surprise. Happy anniversary. You're going to go to Aircon.
Yeah. What a perfect ending. Yeah. There we go.
The 4-hour drive. Make sure you give her flowers, though. Don't make Aircon the only surprise. Right?
Well, I'm sure I could find a ball game that would be suitable.
Oh, yeah. Farming.
That may well end in a farming game in space.
So, you know, wouldn't that be terraforming Mars?
No, it hasn't got animals. But maybe it does. Maybe it needs to be a farming game in space.
Well, yeah.
Kind of like farming. The Martian. Like he's farming potatoes.
Right. He does. Yeah.
I think I've just created Carrie's perfect game.
There you go.
Anyway, farming, we've digressed onto, but not going. But I do wish I was, and if I do happen to now get away with that fantastic idea, so thank you for the suggestion.
Absolutely. So the race to the next game. How you like that segue?
The race to the next game. What are you going to go for?
So I want to talk about Mississippi Queen.
Never heard of it.
I've mentioned it a little bit. It came out a second time, second edition in 2019 by Werner Hodel, or Hodel. Okay, this game is really cool. We played it at Gen Con in the games library, and Katie and I just fell in love, right? So it's river paddle boats along the Mississippi River, like in the 19th century, 1800s. And it's just so good. So you've got these beautiful plastic paddle boats, and on the left side, you've got like this dial with red numbers to indicate how many spaces you can move.
Right.
And you can turn it up or down. So 1 to 6, up or down 1 for free. If you want to do it again, you have the right wheel, which has black numbers, which represents your coal supply. So you know, if I'm at a 2, which means I can move 2 hexes forward, but I really want to move 3 to get ahead of you. If I want to turn it to the 3, because I'm only going to, I can only do 1, then I have to dial down the coal. If you run out of coal, you can only move 1 hex until you stop at like a little deck, a dock to refill your coal. If they show up, because it's one of those where you put new tiles out as the game goes on. So you can't see the route of the river ahead of you, which is, that's really cool. But you have to stop and pick up 2 passengers along the way. And at the end, you have to drop them off. But if you're going to stop at a dock to pick up passengers, you have to stop You can't, like, if you're going,
you can't red, slide in, grab yeah, them and keep
if
on.
If you're red
rolling,
if you're at a three and you're three hexes away and you stop, that doesn't count. Your paddle has to be on a one because you have to be going slow enough to stop at the dock to allow the passengers to get on board. So there's a little bit of a timing issue. And so, yes, we're racing, but we're also racing to pick up passengers as they're revealed in the course of the game. It's so good. And you roll a die, and the direction of the arrow will tell you where to put the next tile, left, straight, or right.
Nice. So it's basically building the course as well as you
Yes, know. Exactly. Exactly.
And what's this called again? Mississippi
Queen.
Queen.
So good. So good. And not just because I grew up along the Mississippi River and grew up with paddle boats, you know, in New Orleans and whatnot, but it's just such a good game. Like we played it with our gaming group when we finally got a copy, and like we're all standing up with our hands on our hips looking at the map. Like it got really tense. And it was like, you know, this is like a little, you know, little paddle boat racing game, right? But no, all these grown men were like, oh, gotta map it out, you know.
And how close is it?
What do you mean?
In terms of finishing, do you generally stay quite close together, or is there
pretty much? So inevitably, what happens is one person gets ahead, and again, you have to pick up two passengers. So whoever picks up two passengers first is then just they're focused on running, right? But you got to go around islands and sandbars that slow you down, so you've got to be really cautious too. So if you get too far ahead, you can get yourself into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So
the thing about like Downforce, like that game, because there's three ways to earn cash or lose money, mm-hmm. where you can mm-hmm. buy the cheapest cars. You can yep. actually not even try to win. You can just try yep. to bet on the right cars. It's not necessary at the race, but you still end up some cars coming quite late.
Mm-hmm.
So the game can be finished with one car, but could you still playing cards right till the end?
Right.
It isn't that there's just one winner and it saves going.
And Mississippi Queen plays up to six.
Okay.
So so unlike Downforce where you're just playing cards and you move cars that maybe aren't your car that you bought in the auction. Yeah. Mississippi Queen, it's your paddle boat. You're trying to navigate your boat for the win. And it's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very cool game.
That sounds interesting. Cool. Very cool.
It's an interesting concept too, and the components are really nice.
Yeah, it's not a theme you see.
No, not at all. And it was really surprising. So that is Mississippi Queen.
Mississippi Queen.
So y'all get on that paddle boat, and go down the Mississippi River, and you win that race. You hear me?
So sticking to things, racing along. I'm going for Flame Rouge next.
Ooh.
Have you played Flame Rouge?
I have not. I want to so much.
So we've gone to, obviously, it's a cycling game.
Yes. Okay, so we did automobiles, then we did camels, then paddle boats, and now bicycles.
Oh, horses. We did horses. Long shot.
We did horses, yes. And I love it. I love this. This is great. So Flame Rouge.
Mississippi Queen. I'm just remembering these games. Yeah, so I've gone for Flame Rouge next, which... I'm also a cyclist, so theme-wise, I love Flame Rouge. Again, track, loads of track pieces. You build the track a bit like a Skeletrix at the beginning, so you kind of got that whole just build the track as a group.
Okay.
And then you've got two cyclists, a sprinter and a roller, so one is very good at quick dashes, the other one is just consistent. Set of cards, use a card once, job done, so a bit like Downforce, but the card is only for either the sprinter or the roller. And you just got to, I think you have four cards in your hand. You pick one, discard the three, then you draw back up. So you're cycling through the deck quite rapidly. But of course, you might have a number between, let's say, three and five or three and six. So you may not have the card you need for that turn. You can get drafting by sitting behind the peloton group. There's uphills, there's downhills, there's chicanes, there's expansions with the weather. It's brilliant. I've seen people build really nice component courses that are actually out of polystyrene that look amazing. So that's Flame Rouge. And then obviously more recently, the same designer has created Heat Pedal to the Metal, which was a massive hit last year. I think it's available. I'm not sure the second print run's landed in the UK yet, but certainly very similar mechanics. Now, I haven't bought Heat, but I wish I could. But we played it. I can't remember where we played it. We played it somewhere. And the carry was like, it's too much like Flame Rouge because it's very similar to cycling cars. But it's not. It's got racing cars in it.
Oh, I mean.
So it needs to be part of the collection at some point.
Same designer, right?
Really enjoyed it. You kind of got this bit about changing gears and going faster. But whether you prefer the car version or the Flame Rouge with the cycling, both are fantastic racing game mechanic.
That sounds great. It sounds really good. Yeah. I can get behind that. You were talking about changing gears, so changing games. How about Formula D or Formula Day, where you roll a different die?
So is that five dice? Each dice is represented by the gears, so isn't it? Three, four, five, six-sided, seven-sided, 20-sided?
Yes, you got a D4,
yeah,
and then a D6, and then a D8, and then a D10,
yeah,
and then a D12, and then there's a D20.
That's right. And they're all different colors, and they represent the six gears of the car.
Right.
Yeah. It's a game we've played quite a bit. I actually think we've passed it on. Again, probably when we didn't have a very large group, but now we have. I'm a little bit disappointed. Yeah. But yes, that's a nice, very nice racing game. A game with plenty of expansion packs.
What I like about that game is the big boards. Like, you have really big tracks printed on the
board. They are really big tracks.
I like that. What I don't like about the game is that the plastic cars are so tiny.
Oh, they're really small. Yeah,
they're really small. I like the size of the cars in Downforce.
Yeah.
Like, they're just satisfying. They're the right size, tactile-wise, and it's just I like moving them across the board.
I think it's between the two. Yeah, they're okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So if you could apply the mechanics of Formula D to the game components of Downforce, I just think that would be choice.
Yeah. There's a game called Formula 90 that was a Kickstarter, I'm going to say, about a year ago, which I completely missed, which components-wise I think is kind of middle of the road.
Yeah.
But from a simulation of F1 with pit stops and just more of an F1 experience – it looks like it's probably the best one that gives you that thematic car racing. I don't think it's shipped yet, but it's one I'm going to keep an eye out for and see if I pick up a, retail copy or a Kickstarter pledge. Nice. But thinking about older games, I remember there was a game called Formula One, which I think came out in 1962.
You're going back now. Yeah, come on. Tell me more.
I think it was Waddington's. Now, I remember this game as a child. Now, I can't remember whether my mum and dad owned it or whether my grandparents did. They both had lots of board games in the family collection. But I know that one of our Southampton group has a copy of this. We've not yet got to the table. Where, again, it's a racetrack, little cars, but you've got kind of like an A5 kind of steering wheel with little markers, little dials that change the speed and change the gears. That I remember this nostalgia kicking in was a really fun racing game. So that's one that I guess going long way back in the world of board games, I'd like to try a game. So at some point, Gareth, when you're listening, we need to get that to the table.
Hey, so what about, you were telling me earlier, was it pitch car racing?
Yeah. It's kind of like, so I've played this once. I haven't got a copy. It's like a Skeletrix track, really. It's huge. I mean, it is a table hog, and you build the track, and it's a flicking game. So your cars are discs, and you have to flick them around the track. Obviously, you can come off the track, and obviously you can knock other people off. But yeah, the boards are amazing.
Oh my gosh,
I think they're quite expensive.
I'm looking at images right now, and I'm like, man. These are huge.
Yeah, huge. Pitch car racer. Somebody bought onto a games expo that we were at, and it was set up. But again, everyone's standing up around the table. There's no chairs involved. So you've not, it's not just the people playing it, everyone is watching as well. So it's quite a nice spectator sport because you can, you know, the simple miss flick and there's carnage kicking in, just like a terrible overtake in the real Grand Prix.
So what happens if you flick and it goes off the...
Can't remember.
Okay.
I think you have to reset.
Okay. Because, I mean, I with these dexterity games, that's always my problem. Is I'm afraid I flick too hard and it would go wild.
I'd be okay with the flicking. It's when you've got to balance things that I'm rubbish. Mm. Rubbish at. Yeah, but that's, yeah, I'd love to own, that's one I'd love to own a copy of. I just don't know where you store it. It'd end up in a cupboard somewhere and it'd only end up at conventions where there's usually big enough table space.
So for those of you listening, I mean, look up Pitch Car on Board Game Geek and just look at the pictures. This is huge.
Mm.
They take up a lot of, Gareth's not, you're not exaggerating. Like there's a, I'm looking at one image where they have like four folded
tables. Have they? Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Lined up. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
It might be two, maybe it's two sets. I don't know how many sets are in.
It would definitely not fit on your dining room table at
all. No, we're going to need, we need two of those.
Yep.
I think so I've got one last game on my list. A game called Automobiles, which is a bag building racing game. So pretty simple track. I seem to remember it might even just be a loop of, you know, just a figure, just a zero figure. And you start with very different color cubes in your bag. And as you move your car, the car finishes in different colored zones, like white or black or brown. And that's basically how much wear and tear you've got on your car. You can give upgrades to buy extra components, which might be a new engine, it might be chassis, it might be different brakes. And those cubes go into your bag, and as you draw, they help you go faster. And so basically, again, you're lapping cars around the track. Really nice bag builder. I think it might be out of print. I haven't seen it for a while. There's certainly an expansion that I have that I'd love to get hold of.
This is by David Short. It's by AEG Games. It looks like you can buy a copy for $150.
Yeah, out of print. But yeah, if you like a bag builder and you like car racing,
I mean,
then Automobiles is for you.
Who doesn't like a good bag builder?
I know, right? It's the best of both worlds. So yes. I guess what makes a good racing game from everything we've said today? There's this random element that in some games you don't tolerate, but with a racing game, as long as you can mitigate, there's always a bit of luck and planning. But whether we've talked about, you know, from downforce, where you could be a bit of a douche, down to even, you know, Camel Up, Flame Rouge, they've all got elements where you've got a chance to make the best decision, but doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the race.
Yep.
Which makes, to me, is that there's just fun games to have around the table.
Yes, very fun. Very fun to play. Absolutely. So I guess it's time for our little land yap at the end, right?
What have you got this week?
So I want to tell you a quick story. There's a game that's coming out by Samuel Barmettler. It was kickstarted last year. Should be shipping this summer, and it's called Outrun the Bear.
Outrun the Bear. Tell me more.
So Katie and I got an opportunity to play test this at Gen Con at the Double Exposure playtest hall. And this was great. This was a fun game. And you want to talk about you can't take yourself seriously. So the idea is that you are a bunch of hikers in the woods and there's a giant hungry bear. And the bear just moves forward and you're trying to run to the parking lot at the end of the route. And you have like a series of cards in your hand that might be like eat an energy bar and you can move two spaces forward, or, you know, that'll help you, give you an advantage, or you can trip your opponents. Right. And you have interrupts. So that's where there was a moment when we were play testing where three players played a card simultaneously. And you could tell at some point we had all played Magic the Gathering. And so, well, like, we all play this card, and then the question is, so which one triggers first? It was a really fun moment, but needless to say, I did not outrun the bear, but Katie did. So I got that going for me when what I started playing it.
Does it maul you? And it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, it eats you and you're out of the game and you move on. And like the bear is this really big, because I think that the mat or the tiles for the router, maybe 6 or 8 inches wide. And the bear is that wide too. And it's like this big, tall acrylic. It's not a miniature. It's like a standee, but it's acrylic. And it's got like two legs on that sit on the outside of the track. So it slides very nicely and it just moves forward. So it doesn't matter that the route might be curvy printed on the tiles and you're trying to run across them. And some terrain might slow you down because there's fallen leaves or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But very, very cool game. Plays very quickly. That's another filler game or end of the night. Hey, you know what? Let's try to outrun the bear.
And that's shipping now or shipping soon?
This summer, I believe, shipping. Yeah.
Outrun the bear.
Outrun the bear. So that's my little lanyap for this week. So
nice little filler.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. I shall look forward to hearing about more bear stories. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see everybody soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.